Okay, now that we're going to get you to live to 105 with supplements, we want to make sure your brain's working, too.
I had to talk to Nish about that getting us to live forever stuff. I want to see some Jesus. I don't want to be here forever.
Well, you know, 105, we wouldn't want you around either.
I can't blame you on that one.
No, but, you know, if you can just be happy and healthy up to the end.
Yeah, that'd be great. What was the old saying? If I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's probably part of it. The other one is emotional health and heart health and all of that.
Yes.
And that's where you come in. Patrick Doyle's in the house. He heads up Veritas Counseling, and the number to his office is 622-6018. That's the number to his office for an appointment, and very nice facility that he's there in the Noonan Square in Jacksonville.
Yep.
But the number here today that doesn't require an appointment, we won't charge it. It's free, and that's 776-5368, 776-5368. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, have you read the Beatitudes, right?
Yeah, blessed are those.
Yeah. You know, I've read those for years, and I always end up kind of feeling kind of guilty when I get done reading them.
Why?
Well, you know, I should be more poor in spirit. Well, you know, I should be something or another more.
Oh, so we're going to go back to spiritual guilt?
Yeah. I feel it sometimes, don't you?
Well, it's just a lifestyle.
Oh, man. Speak the truth, why don't you, Perry?
So, I mean, we'll never amount to anything. I mean, we're going to fall so short of pleasing the Lord. Why bother? So just find a lonely place and live there. As long as you can pay your bills and your kids are happy, just shut up and deal with it.
I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. It's what a lot of us do. I was reading the Beatitudes in the Message the other day, and it just struck me how Eugene Peterson translates just the first two. The first two Beatitudes is translated
blessed
by Eugene Peterson.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
He says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule.
All right. Well, okay. I'll go with that one.
Then the second one is, you're blessed when you've lost what you feel is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you.
I think I'm going to let you just talk by yourself here now because you pretty much blew me out of the water.
So
I've been living Murphy's Law for about a month.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it must be my spirituality, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. That's what it is. If you were more spiritual, Perry, nothing bad would happen to you.
Yeah, I know that.
That's
I think
a joke,
I'm gonna
people.
Play, I'm gonna put on a CD. We're going to listen to music now.
Yeah, some elevator music just to make you feel better. But so here's God saying, look, when you're at the end of your rope, when you've lost what you think is most dear to you, you're blessed. Now, that is not how we see it.
No.
Okay, so why are we blessed? Well, because we get to depend, we get to be cared for, we get to quit striving and let him be our God. Let him be our dad. Let him take care of us. And that is where we get the relief from the anxiety and the overwhelm. And again, when I talk about relief, I'm not talking about, you know, I live in holy bliss and I never, the trouble of life never even phases me. That's not reality. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, you mean circumstances come. You're not trying to have bad circumstances. You're not trying to get people to be mean to you. I've had some, threats in the last couple of weeks myself. And so, I understand that you don't ask for stuff, but it shows up.
Boy, does it ever.
And then what do?
Shoot it.
If at all possible.
I mean, why do we dance around it? Kill the sucker and get it out of here. Yeah.
So if it were only so easy. So here's God saying, look, I know that you're going to be at the end of your rope.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to use it to benefit you. Now, look, people are going to do evil things to you.
Yeah. You know? And call it love.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They will. Mm-hmm. And they'll deny and they'll rationalize and they'll minimize and they'll justify and they'll make you feel crazy. Mm-hmm. Because they're so good at telling you what they're doing is okay, even though in the bottom of your soul you know it's not. So here's the deal. Who is the one who can do any justice about this stuff? It's not me. You know, I can remember, I'll just put it in terms of my own life, when I was little And I was living with my dad, and he was crazy. He was, you know, violent, and he was an alcoholic. You know, I've said this before. I thought about, and I went to the library and researched how to poison him. You know, because I thought, you know what? I got to stop. Somebody's got to stop this. Something's got to change. Some justice needs to be done. Well, let's say I would have carried that out and actually accomplished it, and I would have killed him. Would that have been justice?
No.
No. That would have been sin on top of sin, which doesn't usually work out very well for anyone. Mm-hmm. So who can do justice for the fact that my father was severely unjust? I can't. Mm-hmm. The law couldn't. God. So here's the thing. If God is just, why doesn't he get involved the way I want him to?
Well, because then you'd still be in control.
That's right. And so here's the thing. God knows what's going on, even though it might be very painful for you. I think back to the Garden of Gethsemane, and here's Jesus sweating and very anxious and overwhelmed with the pain that he was feeling. And he asked God, is there any way we can do this another way? Can we do this some other way? Mm-hmm. Can we find another way to do this? Mm-hmm. What was the answer to that prayer?
My grace is sufficient.
Yeah. No.
No. Well, Paul had the same problem, the old thorn thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So here's the thing. So I think it's the only gospel that records this is the Gospel of Luke, I think, Perry. But God does say, but I will send an angel to comfort you. And so even though he said no to Jesus and Jesus had to go through what he went through, he sent an angel to comfort him through the process. And so I'm here to tell you, tough stuff happens. Difficult things come. And the only hope we have for justice is in God. If you can get yourself off the hook for creating justice, I believe you can actually be at peace with some of the circumstances that seem like they're not. There's no way you can have peace about them. It's God's justice that is important, not mine. And although I believe a lot of times I know exactly what the just thing would be to do, I'm not just. Only God is. And so can I trust him? And look, here's the problem. In the midst of the waiting while the pain is really high, I don't want to wait. I don't want to be just. I want relief. And when I want relief, I'm willing to do some things.
All right, let's talk about that because we want relief, but why does God seemingly, when you think you're at the end, nothing happens? I mean, it is so dead.
Yeah.
And the heavens are so brass.
It's a ghost town.
I mean, you might as well go talk to a fence post because you're going to have better conversation than you are with God.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yes, I do know.
And so you're going along here. What's the purpose of that dead zone?
Mm-hmm. I believe the purpose of that dead zone is to readjust your priority system, which is to say, look, who is really God? Me or God? And my circumstances, if they don't change God, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I've had the wrestling matches with God before over things. And the truth be told, God knows what's best for me. Even if someone else is doing something evil to me, at the right moment, he will redeem it. He'll take care of me. And you know what? Look, every disciple of Christ, except for John, was killed. John, they tried to kill. They just couldn't.
Is it okay to be mad at God?
I believe it's inevitable and necessary.
Inevitable and necessary.
Yeah. Particularly if you're a human.
Because there's some theology that says that's a sin.
Well, I realize that, but you know, God's used to sin. He knows about the fall. He sees all my sin. So if I'm angry at him, the best thing I could do would be to go to him and be honest, just like a normal human relationship. If I go to somebody and I'm angry and I'm upset about something they did and I say it and I get it out, and instead of kicking me to the curb or knocking me out, they hear me out and love me through it, do I trust that person more or less?
It depends on who won the argument.
Yeah, well, but if they don't, if they don't reject me,
yeah, right.
I trust them.
Okay.
So similarly with God, do you think he doesn't know you're angry already?
Yeah.
He already knows. He knows everything. So hiding it from him only hurts your ability to trust him. And this is why I keep encouraging people to be honest with God, with your vocal cords, out loud. Get it outside of you. Because when you keep it in, it gets all convoluted and mixed up. You get it out there, and then, hey, watch out. God might start talking. Hmm. And when he does, if God speaks to you in the midst of the turmoil, Perry, then you got something to hold on to. But if you're just trying to fix it all the time and patch it up and anxious and depressed, that's not going to help you get to the other side. It will hinder you.
All right. Frank, you ever get angry at God?
All the time.
Oh, okay. Well, then call back. Call another number, will you?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning. What's up?
It's Tuesday morning, so I'm here for my free session again.
Yeah.
I've been listening to what you were talking about, and even though I know that God is sovereign, obviously, and in control, I think our ability to allow him to work in our lives, at least for myself, is in direct proportion to my relationship with my parents and the kind of parents that I have. They were really overly controlling, overbearing, were they trusting on me, and I think that affects my walk.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think you're right, Frank. I think most of us filter God through our experiences, I think primarily with our father.
Yeah.
And that's a very difficult thing to deal with because it's oftentimes not even conscious.
Yeah, but your kids didn't come with any manuals.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't.
No.
And but so it's not about castigating the parent.
No.
But it is about it would be it's no more healthy to castigate my parent than it would be to ignore how their sin affected me. Equally important is it to look at, see, not to say it's their fault. No, what the deal is we look and see, how did their sin or how did their faults affect me in my relationship to God?
And it's, learn from it and move on.
Exactly. Not to spend time wallowing and castigating and all that. But at the same time, the idea that I should never look back, that's another church thing that's popular, is you never look back. Well, what happens if I don't have to look back? What if the past catches up with me every day and runs me over?
Yeah, all right.
Which is equally opportune.
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
Keep him around, Perry. He's good.
Okay, thanks. Right.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. I
got to send Frank his check.
Yeah, do that. 776-5368 is the number if you've got any questions for Patrick Doyle this morning. We've got a few moments left. 776-5368. Well, I think, you know, we call it the desert experience. We call it the 1159 experience. We call it God dumped me experience.
Right.
You get to this, you're in this zone, and all of a sudden it gets drier and darker. And at that point, it's critical because I'm wondering, usually you get the person there.
Uh-huh.
I hear from them there.
Right.
And the saddest part about that is they're hopeless. Now, the only thing I could say is that's probably can be somewhat healthy.
Mm.
But maybe what makes them hopeless is that they only have so much of God's word. I mean, you can't, you know, they've also reached a spiritual intellect or a spiritual academic limit. I mean, they haven't, they just don't know the word of God.
Right. And sometimes that's absolutely the case. So therefore, you don't know. It's not so much about knowing the word as it is knowing the author, because it's really about an intimacy with him, not about knowing about his attributes, although that's very helpful.
Yeah, but if you don't, I understand, and they're almost synonymous.
They
because,
are.
Because if you don't know the word.
Right. And I don't
you've
want
got half theology in your brain, and you're trying to hold on to something that's not really complete.
Right. And that's really important to understand, which is that, again, I don't want people reading the scripture looking for a magic way out. I want them reading the scripture looking for the God who wrote it.
Okay.
And when you get to know him intimately, it will inspire your trust instead of you feeling like he doesn't care. If you know the scriptures and what he said, there's no way you could come to that conclusion.
All right. Daniel, hi. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to make a comment on something that was said just a little bit ago about children weren't born with a manual. I do believe that children, every child in this world is born with a manual, and it's actually called the Word of God.
Mm.
God tells us how to raise our children, what we are to do with our children. And if somebody's not truly obeying the Word of God, they're not truly raising their children for God. And that's what I think that is a lot of fault in some of the experiences that people have nowadays, is they say, well, how am I going to raise my child? I don't know how to do this. My parents did it this way. Let me follow them. Wow, why is my child not going to church? Wow, why does my child not know God? It's because you never had a devotional with your child. You never taught them the Word of God. I've got a 2-year-old daughter right now that has 2 memory verses that she can tell you every single word in those without even looking at the Bible right now, because we work with her. We teach her those memory verses. At 2 years old, she can remember a verse from the Bible and retain it.
Right.
And she can remember songs from the Bible. She, you ask her, you say, her name is Alexia. Alexia, why do you go to church? And she says, because we love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Good. Good stuff, Daniel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the concern I have with that is that knowledge is one thing that I'm not trying to get people to have just intellectually. And what I want people to do is have an intimacy with God, not an intellectual understanding of Him. And I understand what Daniel's saying, which is that the Word is one of the keys to that. You have to understand what God is saying and who He is. But it's more than information. It's revelation. It's God revealing Himself to us. God says, hey, you want to know who I am? Here, I wrote it down for you.
How do you get people
in the Bible?
We're talking about the dark zone,
right?
All of a sudden, you're in a period in your life that you, as a believer, you thought you would never experience. You said in the Beatitude,
yeah,
"Blessed are the poor in spirit."
Yeah,
you are so spiritually bankrupt that you're not even sure if your prayers are heard outside
yes.
your own tongue. You know,
right?
Let alone going up.
Mm-hmm.
In that dark zone. one of the questions I have is, why does God allow people to give up there? I've watched people walk away from God mm-hmm. in that zone.
Yeah. You know, I don't know why God does what He does. One thing I do know repeatedly from Him in my own experience and the experience of many others I've been with is that God is good. And His good doesn't always match my good. I have an idea what good is, but God's good isn't always the same as mine. And I've gotten into a lot of difficult spots spiritually and emotionally because of my disagreement with God and His plan. So I don't know why people walk away, Perry. All I can say is that, you know, that it's a tragedy. But it does happen.
Lori, you're next. Go ahead.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Lori.
You're talking about being versus teaching, learning.
Yes.
I have a great-granddaughter, and she doesn't really get taught the Word.
Uh-huh.
But when her mother and grandmother are praising the Lord, or she's in church and worship, she's just barely 3.
Right.
Oh, her little hands just go up. And she loves, and she talks, mm-hmm. and she praises. That mm-hmm. that teaching, what you said, being and living the Word in the family is
yeah.
training up.
Yep.
Grandson, about the same age.
Right.
When my daughter and I were just worshiping and praising the Lord, and he came in, and his mother called him, and he said, "Just a minute, Mom. I'm praising the Lord with Grandma." And so I just wanted to underline and underscore what you were saying, that it's our worshiping and our worship attitude
right.
that trains up the children. Mm-hmm. And I love you both. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye.
I'm a strong believer in that children don't do what we say. They do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
That they take the example of what we're doing and they incorporate that into their lives. It's like osmosis. It's not something they even try to do. It just happens. I mean, how many times have you found yourself acting like your father in a way that you said you never would? And you're like, oh, I'm doing it. Because it's like in your DNA. It just gets so imprinted in us.
I don't know. It's a virtue.
Yeah, well, for some guys, it is a virtue.
Well, you know.
Some guys had good dads.
Yeah, well,
So, you know, dark times come, depression, anxiety, hurt, overwhelm. Those things are a natural part of life, and you see them in the scripture. You see very godly men going through these difficult times. You see very, you know, ordained, anointed, whatever word you want to put on it, men who God chose for a mission, who had them actually accomplish something in the kingdom. Most of them went through this kind of difficulty. Most of them were, I mean, listen, if you're going to follow God and you're going to do his bidding, like, you're going to understand all the time what he's doing? I might be asking him a bit much.
Well, it does throw in the question, with all due respect, some of the stuff that you see on television, you kind of go, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking for the easy path. We're looking for the way that has no pain to it, certainly has no challenge to it.
Right.
And I'm wondering, what are we developing here? What's going on? I mean, we're going into war for this country. We're going into spiritual war for the soul of this country. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we're prepared. I don't. I mean, we may end up being a Gideon thing where God's just going to start saying, throw that 300 out, take care of that, you know, and toss those 200 out.
Right. Well, and again, you know, I believe real strongly that difficult times don't make you. They reveal you. So when difficulty comes, what it does is it reveals what is in you. Do you trust God or do you not?
Do you ever want to quit?
Oh, dude, yes, a lot. I was just telling—
Quit what, though?
I was just telling Catherine the other day, I'm like, could we get an RV
and
sell
town?
The house and, like, just take a year-long
sabbatical?
Road trip? Yeah. I would love to do that with my boys. I get tired of how he's having to juggle things, and I want to spend time with my wife, and I want to spend time with my sons, and I want to relax, and I want to have time to read a book, and I want. And you know what? At the same time, what I do every day is a glorious privilege, and yet I get tired. Sometimes I don't want to be the guy everybody wants to talk to about their problems. Sometimes I want to just hide. I think that's – if you don't feel that occasionally, you're not breathing probably. Because, look, if you think that I have the ability to understand everything and know everything and figure all this stuff out, I don't. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit encouraging me, holding me up, you know, kind of like, you know, Moses' arms being held up, Moses couldn't do it. He needed help. And God told him that repeatedly. So I'm the same way. And I think when I'm around my buddies, my accountability guys, the guys who know me really well, and I just say, look, I'm done. Today, I want to take a mulligan. You know, I want to do over. I don't want to even be here. It's really helpful to me to get it out and hear their encouragement instead of keeping it in and thinking I'm bad because I had the thought. You know, instead, I need to get it out there and let God deal with me instead of hiding. Hiding will kill you. I'm guaranteeing it. I've got the scars to prove it. Hiding won't help. But getting it out there, as scary as it might sound like it is, and again, I want to give a caveat here, don't tell this to people that you can't trust. You got to know that you can trust these folks before you utter anything. Trust has to be built. But I'm telling you, keeping it in will annihilate you. And even if no one knows, I know a lot of guys who look really good, Perry, who are annihilated inside, who are hopeless, who are hurting. But no one will know because they look so good on the outside. But, you know, I'm the guy who talks to those guys that, you know, everybody thinks looks good, but they come to my office and say how bad they aren't really, how bad they're really doing. So I don't really believe that that look good is really all that real. I believe everybody's got suffering.
I get them in my office all the time.
Right.
And you're kind of shocked by the dump.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm so grateful that God has allowed me the privilege to be a part of that, because you know what? It's where people start to get freedom. When you start to get things into the light, then God starts to move on things. But as long as we're holding it in, we're the one who are isolating ourselves from him. Now, you can't stay in that position forever, because God has this thing called the Holy Spirit, and he's going to move you. If you're his kid, you will be moved. It's not a matter of it's a done deal. He's going to move you to where you need to be sooner or later. It's just how much difficulty do you want in the process?
What do you say to the person that's hopeless? I mean, they've gone through the storm.
Right.
They're wore out. They're beat up.
I would say, look back in your life and see where God has revealed himself to you, where he's shown up and saved you, rescued you, spoken to you. Rehearse the truth of what he has done in your life for you specifically. Rehearse that stuff. And I guarantee you, as you do, you'll start to, that trust will start to rebuild in you that, oh yeah, I've been here before, God, and you've always been there for me. I don't have to worry about it. You're going to take care of me. I'm hurting, but I know you're there.
Patrick Doyle, 622-6018 is his number, and that's the number to his office for Veritas Counseling, 622-6018. And if you get a voicemail, leave a message, and
I'll call you back.
He'll call you back, 622-6018. All right, thanks, bud.
Amen.
Keep up the good work.
You too.
Glad you do what you do.
Thank you, man.
What's your cell phone number? I want to give that.